sermon is brought to you from the pulpit of Parkway Baptist in Fort Oglethorpe, Georgia.
Take your copy of God's Word, and I want you to turn it to the book of 1 Chronicles, chapter number 4. Last week, we started a series entitled Same God, But New Year. I'm glad that God doesn't change. Somebody say amen. I'm glad that the Lord does not change. You know, my family yesterday, we were talking about progressive Christianity. This is a new term they have out there, talking about progressive Christianity. Well, Christianity cannot be progressive. The Bible says Jesus Christ is the same today, yesterday, and forevermore. Amen? He changes not. And so the Word of God never changes, and I'm glad for that. I want you to take your copy of God's Word, and I want to talk about this morning the same God, but a new year. But I want to talk about the cords that bind you. Cutting those cords that bind you. Now, I'm going to share a crazy story with you in a few moments. And from the story is where I'm going to get the title of my sermon, Cutting the Cords That Bind You. And I'm going to find in the pages of the Word of God an individual that did just that. That he learned to cut the past, let it go, and bring honor and glory to God. His name is Jabez. We find one passage of Scripture that describes him. We don't know a whole lot about him except for what is said right here in 1 Chronicles chapter 4. So if you're there, 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verse number 9. If you're there, say amen. All right, that sounds like everybody. Look at verse number 9. And Jabez was more honorable. Underscore that. Jabez was more honorable than his brethren. And his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bear him with sorrow. Now, we don't know what happened. It may have been a troublesome pregnancy. There could have been some complications on the delivery. Maybe Jabez is born with some type of physical ailment. Maybe something happened to the mother as a result of him being born. We don't know. The Scripture doesn't say. All we know is that here's a man presented with a problem. As soon as he comes into the world, the Bible says he's given a name because his mother bore him in sorrow. So he's a man with a problem, but he's also a man with a plan. Look at verse number 10. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed, and enlarge my coast, and that thine hand might be with me, and that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. Listen to this. And God granted him that which he requested. I want you to be seated. We're going to look at Jabez's life here today, and we're going to talk about cutting the cords that bind you. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the reading of your word. What an amazing day that we've had already. Seeing families dedicate themselves to you. Lord, folks being baptized today. What a wonderful, wonderful privilege it is to have people coming into the family of God. I pray that you lead us and direct us here in the next few moments to do your will and to honor you as we preach the timeless truths of the Word of God. In Jesus' name we pray, and all God's people can say, amen. Now, before I tell you this crazy story that's going to kind of help us, guide us along in the sermon, I want you to turn your copy of God's Word to Romans chapter number 8. I want to note one verse before we begin to dig deep into the passage. Romans chapter number 8, verse 35 and verse number 37. Maybe you need to hear this as we enter a brand new year. You know, the problem is we're in a new year, but it's the same old you. You're still dragging in the old problems and the old things that you had last year. It's a new year, but it's the same old you. I'm hoping through this sermon series to change you and to challenge you a little bit to be better and to do better in 2021. And to help us to get there, look at Romans chapter number 8, verse 35 and verse number 37. Paul says, he writes this question, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? He said, shall tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, or sword? Is there anything that can separate us from the love of Christ? Can a pandemic separate us from the love of Christ? Can radical protesters separate us from the love of Christ? Or what about angry, hateful, wrongdoing politicians? Can they separate us from the love of Christ? Of course, the answer that Paul is looking at here is no. There is nothing that can separate us from the love of Christ. Listen now, because we are saved, And because we are on our way to heaven, Paul says in verse number 37, nay, in all of these things, listen now, we are more than conquerors. Man, you know what that means? That means that I have won the battle before the battle's ever been fought, and every Baptist ought to say amen right there. I have won the battle, you have won the battle before the battle has ever been fought. God is on our side. We are more than conquerors through the church that loved us. Is that what it says? No, it doesn't. We are more than conquerors through Him, Jesus Christ, that loved us. You need to know this. What Paul is saying in this passage is every single one of you have the potential to live in spiritual victory every single day of your life. You don't have to be defeated. You don't have to be deflated in your spiritual journey. You can be delighted in the Lord. You've got the God-given potential to live in victory every single day of your life because of Jesus Christ. And here's what the Lord has done for us. He has placed us on thousands of acres of possibilities. There are all sorts of possibilities out there for Parkway Baptist, for your family, for your marriage, for your ministry, for our church. He's placed us, and we're living on acres and acres and acres and acres of possibilities. But the problem is, many of us is only cultivating a very small portion of that land. God wants us to expand our borders. God wants us to expand our influence. And the only way we're going to do that, to understand that you've got the God-given potential to make an enormous impact in the world, you've got to remember what the Bible says. You are more than a conqueror. If you believe it, let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise in the house of God. Amen. You've got to believe that today. You've got to receive it in your spirit. If you're going to do more and be more for the glory of God, you've got to remember in your mind and in your heart, God has made us more than conquerors. Now, 2021, I think, is going to bring greater challenges than 2020. We say, well, we're in a brand new year, but I want you to know we're still facing a pandemic. We still have angry politicians. There's no telling what's going to happen in the days ahead. We don't know if socialism is going to slide over the landscape of America. We have no idea what's going to happen, how our worship may change, how our churches and our communities may change. We have no idea. I was thinking about this last night when I began praying before I went to bed. Last year at this time, I was in a sermon series called 2020 Vision, and we were talking about having a vision for God in 2020, not knowing that in just a few weeks, a major pandemic is going to wash across the world, and all of our lives were going to be changed. Katie Irwin's here with us this morning. She's in the gospel music industry. People that were singing Southern gospel and singing in churches, their lives dramatically changed because churches were shutting down, and so basically their ministries were shutting down. Many churches that didn't have social media and the privilege of cameras and stuff like we had, their ministries completely shut down. And all of a sudden, we found our lives turned upside down and spinning around thinking, what's going to happen? At first, we were said, they told us shelter in place for a few weeks and then things will get back to normal. But we found out that we were shut down from March all the way to May. And just this year, this past week, George Barna put out a report and said one out of five Christians that no longer go to church because of the pandemic will never ever return back to the church. You know what's happened? The devil's used the pandemic, the devil's used the protest, the devil's used the current situation to lullaby and rock the people of God to sleep. And it's high time that you and I wake up and realize that you've got the God-given potential. God's given you acres and acres and acres of possibility. You can't succumb to fear. You need to live by faith. You need to grab a hold of the hand of God and ask God to bless you. Somebody say amen. Let's give the Lord a hand clap. Amen. Now here's the deal. 2021, I think, is going to be greater challenges than 2020. And so we're going to have to face those challenges with three things. Number one, you're going to have to face it with some courage. Number two, you're going to have to face it with some commitment. And number three, you're going to have to face it with some common sense. We're going to have to face 2020 with courage, commitment, and common sense. Now, let me share a story with you about a guy who had commitment. He had courage, but he had absolutely no common sense. His name is Larry Walters. Now, I don't know if he is related to Brock back there or not. If your cousin, your uncle, your brother, or somebody, maybe he's down through the family, but the guy had courage. Man, he had commitment, but he had absolutely no common sense at all. Larry Walters was a guy who was living his life as a truck driver, but he always wanted to fly. He actually wanted to join the military and was unable to get in, so he always had this desire to fly. So one day, as he is sitting in his yard in his Sears lawn chair, he gets the idea that I can go ahead and take my chair, I can tie some balloons to it, and I'll fly over the desert for a little while. I'll open up a couple sodas, eat a sandwich, take some pictures, I'll have a good time, and I'll bring a pellet gun with me, and I'll shoot the balloons one at a time, and I'll drift all the way back down to safety. And so that's exactly what he did. On July 2nd, 1982, Larry Walters filled 45 weather balloons with helium. He strapped on a parachute. He packed his chair with sandwiches, a bottle of soda, a camera, a CB radio, and a pellet gun, and he settled in for the ride of his life. He was strapped into a cable on top of his roof, and guess what happened? Well, you probably know already, things didn't go very well for poor old lawn chair Larry. The cable actually broke away, and that was one tragedy. The next tragedy was his glasses fell off. Now he can't see which balloon to shoot because he's half blind, and they fell off. And so he's drifting up into the air, and they get on the CB radio, and they're like, you need to come down now. You need to come down now. And before he knew it, a gust of wind grabbed a hold of those balloons, and lawn chair Larry did not go 100 feet up in the air. He did not go 1,000 feet up in the air. Lawn chair Larry launched 16,000 feet up into the air. Now, you do the math on that. That is 3 miles up into the sky in a Sears lawn chair. And so he's drifting up into the sky, and all of a sudden he is spotted by 2 airplane pilots. Can you imagine? Can you imagine what they saw when they're looking out their windshield? You know, is it a bird? Is it a plane? No, it's a lawn chair flying through the sky. I can just imagine they get on the radio and they're calling control tower saying, you're not going to believe this, but there is a man strapped to a lawn chair flying through the air. Larry stayed up there, catch this, for 90 minutes, and he's petrified at this time. He's a little nervous. He's afraid to shoot the balloons because if he shoots the wrong one, he's afraid he's going to die. Well, after 90 minutes of soaring up in the air, he decides to pull out his pellet gun, and he aims and he starts shooting. And sure enough, he starts coming back down to the ground. And so as he's easing back to the ground, he's popping a few more at a time, and he's easing back to the ground, and all of a sudden, that same wind that hurled him up into the air caught him again and slammed him against a host of power lines. A matter of fact, he crashed into the Long Beach neighborhood, and the crash into the power lines gave a blackout for 20 miles long. Larry finally drifts all the way down to the ground, and you know what happened. He got out, he unstrapped himself, and then they put the handcuffs on him, and they're taking him to jail. There was a reporter there, and he asked him, he said, Larry, why in the world did you do this? Why did you do this? And lawn chair Larry gives this classic statement. It's his legacy statement, whom he's now dead. This is his legacy statement. He said, a man can't just sit around. That's why I did it. A man just can't sit around. I want you to know, when I read the story, I thought about our church. I don't want to be a type of church that's just sitting around and doing nothing. I don't want to be the do-nothing Baptist church in 2021. There's enough do-nothing Baptist churches in our community and in our state. I don't want to be one of them. How about you? I don't want to be one of those churches that are just sitting around and absolutely doing nothing for the honor and the glory of Christ. We need to learn to cut the cord. We need to learn to cut the cord, the things that have bound us down in 2020, we need to cut the cord and soar into the heights with the Lord. However, like Larry, I don't want to be an extremist. I want to be a realist. I want to have some common sense. I want to soar in the direction that God's wind will take us. If the Holy Spirit says go, then we need to fly. If he says go here, we need to go. If he says go there, we need to go. We cannot be succumbed by fear. We've got to live by faith and travel the skies with Jesus. Somebody say amen. I don't want to be the do-nothing Baptist church. Cut the cords and let her go. Well, that's exactly the context of the story we have here in front of us. There is a man in the Old Testament that learned to cut the cords that held him back in life. He's presented with the problem. His birth actually caused some type of sorrow. Whether he had a physical ailment, something happened to his mother, there was something that was there that caused some type of pain. And so this is a remarkable story of a guy cutting loose of all that sorrow and all that pain and maybe all that intimidation. And he says, God, I want you to expand my coast. I want you to enlarge my borders. I want to do more for the glory of God, meaning I want to increase my influence. God, I want you to bless me with success. I don't know any better prayer for us to pray in 2020 than, Lord, I want you to increase our influence. Lord, I want you to expand our borders. I want you to help me to bring you honor and to bring you glory. And so this morning, I want you to note three things with me, that this is how we cut the cords that bind us. This is how we let go of the past and we embrace the present. This is how we honor the Lord. I want you to note three things with me as we discover how to cut the cords that bind us. Number one, verse number 10, we cut the cords with what I'm going to call a sanctified ambition. A sanctified ambition. Now, there is a secular ambition that is greedy and that is selfish. That is, we want a name of fame. We want to be popular. We want power and pride and prestige. It's a selfish ambition. But on the other hand, there is a spiritual, sanctified ambition that we all can have. I don't think there's nothing wrong with us praying for good success. I think the Bible actually encourages it, that you and I ought to pray for prosperity. You and I ought to pray for good health and wealth. And we don't do it for ourselves. We do it for the glory of Almighty God. God, give me health so I can work for you. God, give me health so I can enable missionaries and ministries, and so I can give for your honor and for your glory. God, give me influence so I can impact the world with Jesus Christ. There is a secular ambition that is prideful, but there is a sanctified spiritual ambition I think the Bible encourages us to pray for. Now, here's what I want you to note in the text. When you read 1 Corinthians chapter number 4 and following, you're going to find 500 names listed in these genealogies. Now, a lot of times we read the genealogies and we blow right by them because, one, we can't pronounce the names. So when you can't pronounce those names in those genealogies, just use the word Bubba. Bubba begat Bubba, and Bubba had four other Bubbas, and Bubba had three Bubbas. There's a lot of Bubbas in the Bible. Somebody say amen, right? Those names you can't pronounce. Well, you're reading about all these Bubbas here in 1 Chronicles chapter number 4, and all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit of God pauses and highlights one name. The spotlight is put on one person. Out of 500 people that are mentioned, there's only one that the Holy Spirit of God highlights, one individual. He stands out above everybody else. Now, we got to ask the question, what made Jabez stand out above everybody else? Here's 500 people. Think about the crowd we have here today. Out of all the people that's here today, what makes one person shine among everybody else? You may be saying, well, it's probably his education. He was a very educated man. That's why God highlighted him. He was intelligent. Maybe he was prosperous. Maybe he had some type of spiritual gift. And so he shined a whole lot brighter than everybody else. Out of 500 names, why would God pause and give this parenthetical statement about a guy by the name of Jabez? I'm going to tell you why. And the answer is not found in our text. The answer is found in 1 Samuel chapter 2 and verse number 30. Here's why God placed the spotlight on this one guy above everybody else. Samuel chapter 2, verse number 30. The Bible says, "For them that honor me," say it with me, "I will honor." Those that honor me, God says, I will honor. You need to know today, I believe that the reason why Jabez shined among his 500 peers, it was because he wanted to honor God. And you may be asking, well, what honors God? I'm going to tell you this morning what honors God. There is one thing above everything else that will honor God. You know what honors God? What will honor God in 2021? Your faith will honor God. How do we know that? Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 6. But without faith, say it with me, without faith, it is what? Impossible to please God. You can do a lot of things for God. You can run all over those acres of possibilities, but without faith, it is impossible to please the Lord. I believe that Jabez is this guy who has so much faith in God that no matter what problems his birth may have caused, no matter what problems surrounding his sorrow, he's a man that believes that he can overcome the sorrows of life by putting his faith in the Savior. And hey, I got news for you today. You say, my marriage will never be what it needs to be. My membership will never be what it needs to be. I can't find happiness. I can't find goodness. I can't find peace. I want you to know, friend, you need to grab a hold of the hand of God. He's already got a hold of you, honey. You need to put your faith and your hope and your trust in him, and you'll find favor in the eyes of Almighty God. Somebody say amen. The Bible says Jabez honored the Lord, and because he honored God, God puts the spotlight on him. And God says, this is how I want my people to be. He's got a sanctified ambition. He honored the Lord. There's a guy by the name of Kevin Long. You may have heard of Kevin Long. Kevin Long played for the Tennessee Titans, and his coach in college was Coach Bobby Bowden from Florida State University. And Bobby Bowden would often go to his football team, and he liked to speak in parables. He liked to get the guys together and tell them a story and then give some type of illustration or impact to that story. And one of the stories that he told one time, Kevin Long never forgot. And this is what he said. He said, Bowden was playing college baseball, and he had never hit a home run. Finally, he hit one down the right field line into the corner. He rounds first and looks to the third base coach, and he turned second, was halfway to third, and the coach was still waving him on. He got home, and he hit the plate. He hit a home run for the very first time. He was so excited. He was high-fiving everybody, Long says, until the pitcher took the ball, and he turned around, and he threw it to the first baseman, and the umpire said what? You're out. And here's what happened. Coach Bowden looked at his team that day, and Kevin Long never forgot this. Here's what he said. If you don't take care of first base, it doesn't matter what you do. He went on to say, if you don't honor the Lord first, it doesn't matter what else you do. There's a lot we can do. We can run the bases for God. But if we don't get to first base, and first base is honoring the Lord, you need to learn to honor the Lord with your tithe, honor the Lord with your time, honor the Lord with your talent. In everything that you do, you begin to honor the Lord. And if your ambition and your goal is to honor him, then there is no reason and there is nothing wrong with you saying, Lord, I want you to magnify your son as you enlarge my borders. Lord, I want to glorify you. I want to honor you. God, give me good success. Did you know that the Bible actually says that God delights in the prosperity of his people? God doesn't want to hold back his blessings. God is already predetermined to give you those blessings. How do we know that? Jeremiah chapter 33, verse number 3. It said, call unto me, and I will answer thee, and I will show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. God is saying, I have so many ways that I want to bless you, but you have to honor me. When you honor me, I'm going to honor you. In 1791, there's a man by the name of William Carey. William Carey is the founder of the modern day missions movement. In 1791, he stands before the Baptist Association with a large group of pastors, and he is urging those pastors to organize some type of missions ministry to get the people of God on the mission field and preach to the heathen so that the world can come to know Jesus Christ. And in a heated debate with all of these preachers, one of the elders in that meeting stood up and he said this out loud in the meeting. He said, "Sit down, son. Sit down, young man. If the Lord wants to convert the heathen, he'll do it without your help or without mine." William Carey walked away from that meeting that day determined more than ever to honor God. He's praying as Jabez is praying, "Lord, enlarge my coast. God, enlarge my influence." 1 year later, he came back and he preached at the annual summit meeting for the Baptist Association. And again, on his heart, he is praying about missions and the gospel and a plea to get people on the mission field. And as he is preaching with this passion of God and the anointing of God on his heart, he coined a phrase in that sermon that has been used in missions conferences and has been used to motivate the saints of God ever since 1790s. He said, "Attempt great things for God, expect great things from God." There is no better way for you and I to live our lives today is to attempt great things for God and to expect great things from God. This is how Carey lived his life, and this is how Jabez is living his life. He is a man that has spiritual ambition, and he wants to attempt great things for God. God, expand my borders. God, give me more influence. Help me, Lord, to be all that you've called me to be. And his spiritual ambition drove him to the very word of God. Now, here's what you need to note. Verse 9 presents a problem. His mother has him birthed in sorrow, and she actually gives him the name Jabez, saying, "Because I bear him with sorrow." But in verse number 10, it presents a plan. Verse number 10 says, "And Jabez called on the God of Israel." You know what I think is unique about this? Jabez was a guy who was birthed in sorrow, but he's willing to overcome his sorrow and not live in sorrow because I believe his mother pointed him to Jesus. Even though there was a time of trouble even at his birth, he certainly didn't grow up to bring sorrow to his mother's heart. He grew up to be an individual that was going to live for God. Mom and Dad, I got news for you today. You need to point your sons and daughters to Jesus Christ. We are living in a world now more than ever, brainwashing is on the rise through our textbooks in our schools, in our colleges, on the internet, through social media, through TV. Listen, friend, it is on the rise, and if we don't get a hold of the minds of our young people and start pointing them to a biblical worldview, looking at Jesus Christ, if you don't give their minds to Jesus, the devil will surely stand in line and take it. You need to point your children to God. And so the mother, even though she bears him in sorrow and there's some difficulty surrounding his birth, how proud she must have been among 500 brethren out of all the crowd that was there. My son stands out above everybody else. Why? Because she pointed him to Christ and he wanted to honor the Lord. And here's what happened. His spiritual ambition drove him to the word of God. How do we know that? Look at verse number 10. "And Jabez called on the God of Israel." Now let's just put our imagination cap on for just a moment. And let's think about, how did Jabez find out about Israel? Let's just assume today he found out about Israel through the pages of the Word of God. Maybe his mother opened up the Bible and began reading about Israel. And you know who Israel is, right? His previous name was what? Somebody say it. Jacob. And so maybe his mama is telling him the stories about Jacob. And as he's reading the Bible, something unique happens to Jabez. He sees himself, he meets himself in the pages of the Word of God. Have you ever done that? You're reading the Word of God, you're reading about a character, and all of a sudden you see your story in their story. You see your life in their life. You see, their situation is a whole lot like your situation. And maybe Jabez is reading the Bible and he comes across Genesis chapter 35, verse number 18, and he reads about a lady like his mother. Her name is Rachel. And Rachel also had a pregnancy that brought some trouble. Genesis chapter 35, verse 18, and it came to pass as her soul was in departing, for she died, that she called his name Benoni. Benoni meaning son of my sorrow. But his father called him Benjamin, son of the right hand. All of a sudden, Jabez is like, I met somebody just like me. This guy, Benjamin, Benoni, son of my sorrow. He reads about him and he says, I just met myself in the Bible. I just seen my own dilemma in the Word of God. And God begins to speak to Jabez. Have you ever seen yourself in the pages of the Word of God? Maybe you were reading about that pitiful prophet by the name of Jonah. And Jonah got himself in a whale of a mess. Somebody say amen. And you've seen yourself in a whale of a mess, and all of a sudden you met yourself on the page of the Word of God in the life of Jonah. What about Samson? Samson was so full of pride. He thought he was a strong man. He thought he could overcome his enemies on his own, but yet he was so filled with pride, and he didn't humble himself and honor God, and he was defeated. Maybe you've seen yourself in Samson. Maybe there have been times in your life your heart's been filled with pride. You thought you could do this on your own, that you didn't need God, that your talents and your skill could get you where you needed to be. And you found out that the enemy defeated you because of your pride. You met yourself in the pages of the Word of God. What about old Gideon? Gideon one day was threshing wheat in the wine press. You don't thresh wheat in a wine press. You thresh wheat on a mountainside. But Gideon was living in fear. He was afraid of the Midianites, and so he's hiding. And the angel of the Lord comes to him and says, Gideon, why are you here? You are a mighty man of valor. Gideon didn't even realize that God had placed something on the inside, had given him great courage, given him great potential, but he's living in fear. There's been times in my life, I see myself in Gideon's story, that I'm living in fear, that the enemy is defeating me, that I'm hiding away, but on the inside of me, the Lord reminds me there is spiritual power, there is spiritual potential, that you are more than a conqueror. Somebody say amen. Sometimes I see myself in the story of Abraham. The older I get, I'm like Abraham, who looked for a city whose builder and maker was God. And I long for heaven and for the folks that are there. Sometimes I see myself in the pages of Scripture with Paul and Silas, who in the midnight hour of their imprisonment, they begin to pray and they begin to sing and they begin to worship, and the jailhouse rocked. You thought Elvis wrote that. Paul and Silas wrote it. The jailhouse begins to rock. The door swings open. They're so preoccupied in the presence of the Lord that they don't run out to escape. They're enjoying the very presence of God. I've met myself in the pages of the Word of God. What about Martha and Mary? Their loved one had died, and they're in their despair, and they cry out to Jesus, and resurrection life comes and helps them. I want you to know, friend, I believe that Jabez seen himself in the pages of the Word of God, and as God helped Benjamin and Samson and all these others, that he knew that God was going to help him, and the Word of God motivated a sanctified spiritual ambition, and he said, Lord, expand my borders. He began cutting the cords of the past and moving forward in the present. Not only did we find a sanctified ambition, but let me give you the second point. We cut the cords with a specified petition. Now, the Bible says in verse 10, a specified petition. That is, he specifically prayed about something. It wasn't a bunch of mumbo jumbo. It wasn't a bunch of weird words sewn together like the charismaniacs do. It wasn't like that at all. It was a specific, a sanctified prayer. It was a logical prayer unto God. And the Bible says in verse number 10, the Bible says the Hebrew word here for called simply means prayer. He called on the Lord. That is, he prayed. Now, his prayer wasn't a memorized prayer. His prayer wasn't one that he learned in Sunday school and he's uttering back to God. His prayer is not memorized. His prayer is certainly not selfish. His prayer is not an immature prayer. Listen now, his prayer is a humble prayer of faith. And God hears his prayer. And let me just note three things about this prayer. Number one, he prays for enlargement. He says, God, bless me and enlarge my coast. That is, bless my boundaries. Now, here's what you need to know about that. In the Old Testament, the only way for an individual to get land, it was drawn out by lots according to inheritance. The only way to gain more property was to defeat the surrounding enemies that was on that property and to drive them out. You know what he's praying here? He's saying, Lord, I want you to expand my borders. I want you to help me to take back some territory from the enemy. And there are some of you here today, you need to take back that territory that God has given you. Again, remember the beginning of the sermon. God's placed you on acres and acres of possibility. But over time, you've allowed the devil to take away that acreage. And you're only occupying a small portion of land. You need to say, God, bless me. Enlarge my coast. Help me to drive out my enemies. Basically, he is saying, Lord, I want to be a victorious believer. I want to honor you. I want to possess my possessions. I want to give you honor and glory and praise. Help me to drive out my enemies. Some of you need today, you need to say, God, I need that area back in my marriage. Lord, I need that intimacy back. I need that fellowship back. Lord, I need this territory back. Lord, help me to be victorious. Expand my borders. Drive out my enemies. It's a prayer of enlargement. Second of all, it's a prayer of endearment. Notice what he says. That thy hand might be with me. Jabez is saying, Lord, I want to be spiritually close to you. And the Bible uses the hand of the Lord to talk about his strength. One night, the Lord took his hands and he grabbed some fish and some bread. He broke it, he blessed it, he multiplied it, and he fed thousands of people by his hand. Those same hands one day went to blinded eyes, and he touched those blinded eyes, and the blinded eyes could see. Those same hands one day went up to a leopard and touched the leopard, and the leopard was cleansed. Those same hands walked over to a lame man and touched that lame man, and the lame man could walk. The hands of the Lord. I told the service this morning, the crowd this morning, think about this. What was the very thing that they crucified? What did they nail to the cross? They nailed the hands of the Lord to the cross. It was almost like the enemies were saying, Satan himself was saying, if we can just get a hold of his hands, if we can just stop the hands of the Lord, the hands that can heal the blind, the hands that can make the lame to leap, the very hands that make the dumb to speak, if we can get a hold of his hands, we can stop God. And they nailed his hands to an old rugged cross. Oh, but I'm reminded of what the Bible says, Joshua chapter 4, verse number 24, that all the people of the earth might know that the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, that ye might fear the Lord your God. That same hand that put the moon in the sky, that same hand that carved out the mountains, that same hand, that same person that spoke the world into existence. On the third day, he moved the mighty stone away, and he came out victorious over death, hell, and the grave. Somebody say amen. Woo! Glory. That's good preaching, Brother David. Somebody say amen. Jabez says, Lord, I want you to bless me, enlarge my coast. I need your hand to be with me. It's a prayer of enlargement. It's a prayer of endearment, and it's a prayer of enablement. Look at verse number 10 again. That thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it might not, what's it say? Grieve me. The word grieve there is a word for pain. Here's what he's saying. Lord, I'm going to need your help to help me through the pain. It's possible that Jabez had some type of ailment. Something may have went wrong in the development of his body. Maybe he had some type of handicap. He says, Lord, as you enlarge my coast, as you give me more, I'm going to need you to help me through the pain. You know, and it doesn't matter what we face in 2021. I know that our God will help us through the pain. Somebody say amen. Our God is going to help us through the pain. I want you to notice this. Not only did Jabez cut these cords, he got rid of these cords. He gives a specified petition. He's got a sanctified ambition. But look at verse 10, and we're going to close with this one. We cut the cords with a satisfied condition. At the end of the story, old Jabez is completely satisfied. How do we know? Watch this. And God granted him that which he requested. Now, isn't that great? God heard him. Among 500 of his peers, there's a spotlight placed on one man because that one man's motivation was to honor God. Lord, if you'll expand my borders, I will give you all that you have given me. God answered him. What did he do for him? Jabez was not only spiritually blessed because God just answered his prayer, but God actually enlarged his coast. Did you know that? How do we know that? Listen to this. 1 Chronicles chapter 2, verse 55. God not only answered his prayer, but he answers his prayer to such a degree, the Bible says, and the families of the scribes which dwelt at Jabez. God took Jabez and turned him into a city. God took the small little territory that he occupied. God heard his prayer. God says, son, I'm going to bless you, and I'm going to turn you into an entire city. You know, last night I was reading, and before I went to bed and was praying and just looking over my sermon, I came across St. Augustine of Hippo. St. Augustine was a preacher, pastor in North Africa, had a great influence on the reformers later on in life, but he said a lot of good things, and this is one of the things that he actually said. He said, God is more anxious to bestow his blessings on us than we are to receive them. Now, don't ignore that. I want you to hear that again. God is more anxious to bestow his blessings on us than we are to receive them. Are you anxious about grabbing a hold of what God actually has for you? Or are you just satisfied with your little parcel of ground? Because the more you empty yourself, the more fuller of God you can become. And Jabez is saying, Lord, I want to empty myself. I want more of you. And he's so anxious about what God's going to do that he believes in faith that God can literally transform him, and God turns him into a city. What an incredible story. Are you anxious about grabbing a hold of the things of God this morning? I want you to know, friend, if we are going to be all that God wants us to be, we need to do our part in 2021. Hear me well. If we want God to use us, and it's going to take every single one of us. I'm talking every single person. If you're a member of Parkway Baptist, you need to be doing your job. Every single one of us needs to be tithing. Every single one of us needs to be using our talent for the Lord. Every single one of us needs to be using our time to do something for the honor and the glory of Christ. If you believe it, say amen. If we're going to push ahead and cut those strings and expand our borders, then enlarging our borders is going to take three things. Number one, it demands vision. You've got to have vision. Number two, it demands faith. You can't have fear. You cannot succumb to fear. You've got to have faith no matter what happens in the days ahead. Come war, famine, pestilence, or disease, or even imprisonment. You've got to have faith in the Lord that a brighter day is coming. Somebody say amen. You've got to have vision. You've got to have faith, and it's going to demand work. Work from every single one of us, every tithing member, everybody using their talent, everybody praying, everybody coming together, loving one another. If we're going to expand our borders, it's going to take all of those and much more. I believe that God has his best yet for us if we will decide together to love one another, to come together in unity, and ask God, Lord, enlarge our coast. Enlarge our coast. Curtis, you come to the piano. Before you leave, let me give you a few verses before we leave. I believe you need to hear this. Listen to this one. Psalms 37, verse 4. Delight thyself also in the Lord. Listen to this. And he shall give thee the desire of thine heart. The desire of thine heart. You need to know that God doesn't bless us with necessarily material blessings. Now, it's great to have things, right? And we're thankful for that. The Bible actually says God delights in the prosperity of his people. God wants to give us some things. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all these other things, they'll be added unto you. You got to honor God first. Give him honor and glory. If you honor him, God's going to honor you. But the Bible says you delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desire of your heart. The desires he's talking about is those spiritual desires, that spiritual connection, the spiritual intimacy that comes from prayer and walking with God and fellowship with God, the desire of your heart to be more, to be better. You say, well, I can't, I tried. I'm not asking you to do it. I'm asking you to allow God to do it in you and through you. He'll give you the very desire of your heart. Let me give you another one. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20 and 21. Now unto him, this is like a song for Paul. Now unto him that is able to do, listen to this, exceedingly, abundantly, above all we ask or think. I want you to do me a favor. I want you to think about your marriage for a minute. And I want you to think in your mind what paradise looks like. How can your marriage be the very, very best it could ever be? You might be fighting right now. You're fussing with one another. Maybe there's division in the home. And you're thinking, is there any possible way that my marriage could be better and brighter? And you're like, if all these things happen, this will be the perfect scenario. Think about your business. You say, my business is failing. The economy's crashing. I'm losing my business. If these things happened, man, this would be perfect. You think about your ministry. If God would just allow this to happen or that to happen, well, my ministry would be better and more blessed than ever before. You think about every possibility and probability of how the things in your life could be their very best, and God says, I can even do better than that. That's the God we serve. Somebody say amen. Boy, that ought to stir your soul just then. God says, I can do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or even can conceive within my mind. You know, I told the church this morning, let's just say we're getting ready to build something. And Brother Robert Cravat, he owns his own building company. And I were to go to Brother Robert and I said, Brother Robert, I need you to give me a bid on this building. We're getting ready to do this at the church. And it's going to take this and this and this, and this is what we need. And can you do this? He said, sure, I can do this. Well, how do I know that you can do this? Well, I got a crew that works very hard, except for Trey, but he works a little. But I got a crew that works very hard, and I can show you some of the things we've done. And he opens up a book and says, here's a church that we built. Or here's some things that we did. Here's some landscape that we've done. Here's a roof that we've done. And matter of fact, Brother David, I got somebody on the line for you right now, and we did some work for him, and he's going to tell you all about it. And all of a sudden, this guy starts telling me all about the wonderful work that the Cravat family can do when it comes to the area building things. Robert is showing me his credentials. Here's a picture of something I've done. Here's a testimony from one of our customers. And because of his credentials, he's proving what he has done. Man, I'm going to give you the job. Great job. You guys do excellent work. Looking forward to working with you. I want you to know that in the pages of the Word of God, God has given us his credentials. And in one fantastic verse, we find in Psalms 81, verse 10, God's credentials to his people. Listen to this. I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Now the people of God were in bondage. They were under Pharaoh. And through the strong arm and the mighty hand of God, he raises up a man by the name of Moses, empowers him by the Holy Spirit of God, and God takes 2 million people and marches them across the desert. He destroys their enemy. He parts the Red Sea. He feeds them. He leads them. He guides them. He directs them. God says, I am the Lord thy God that brought you out of the land of Egypt. He says, now open your mouth wide. He said, and I will fill it. Why should I trust you, God? Why should I trust you to open my mouth? Are you sure that you can fill it? God said, I'm the one that brought my people out of the land of Egypt. So son, open up your mouth, he said, and I'm going to fill it. Boy, what a great God we serve today. You ever seen those little birds in a nest when they're born? And they're in that nest. What do you see? You don't see a whole lot of feathers. You see a whole lot of beak, you know? And they're just up there, and they're waiting for mama to come and fill their mouth. And they're so hungry, and they desire. They know mama's got the credentials to feed them and take care of them. I want you to know today we ought to be like a hungry little bird. Our mouth, our hearts ought to be open to God. God says, I am the Lord thy God that brought you out of the land of Egypt. Open thy mouth wide. Psalm 81, verse 10. God says, and I will fill it. That's what Jabez did. He opened up his mouth wide and said, God, I want you to expand my borders. I want you to give me greater influence. Help me to drive out my enemies. Help me regain that territory. God heard his prayer. One man out of 500, God puts the spotlight on him and says, this is what it looks like when an individual honors me. Those that honor me, I'm going to honor them. Friend, will you come to Jesus today? Will you honor God with your life? I don't know no better way to start the new year off than for you to come down to this altar and humble yourself today and call upon Jesus Christ and ask God to save you and ask God to help you. Ask God to take away your sin. I don't know no better way than for our church to start off by bending our knee before God, saying, Lord, expand my borders. Lord, give me more opportunity. Help me not to be satisfied with just this parcel of land. Lord, there's so much more that I can do that I want to be. Lord, I need your help. As I honor you, Lord, will you honor me? Give me the very desire of my heart. And out of all of your peers, God puts the spotlight on you because you decided this morning to honor God with all that you have. I want you to bow your heads this morning, and I'm speaking to you today, and the Holy Spirit has spoken to your heart. You know where you're at. I'm going to ask you to come to the altar right where you're at. I'm going to ask you to come forward and call upon God today. Give your life to Jesus Christ.
Thank you for listening. For more information about Parkway Baptist, please visit our website at www.parkwaybaptist.me. That's www.parkwaybaptist.me.